Hello, Miami. Hey, welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport Complex in Kendall. I want to invite you now to come and join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he brings another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Praise the Lord. Guys, I'm so glad to be with you today. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at that scripture and a passage in there in just in a few moments. I want to begin a real brief three-part series on making smart decisions. How do you make good decisions? Did you know that you're going to be judged by the decisions that you make? Not just by the Lord when you come judgment day, but right now you are judged by the decisions that you make. In fact, you could make a case, all right, that our life and where we are right now is nothing more than a result of the decisions that we've made prior to where we are right now. Successful people are successful because of the decisions that they've made. Unsuccessful people are unsuccessful primarily because of the decisions that they made. Good people, bad people, every walk of life, every type of person, for the most part, I know there's an exception to the rule, and there are exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, we are who we are and we are where we are because of the decisions that we make. Now, if that's going to be true, and the decisions that we make are going to set us up to pass or to fail, to be successful or to not be successful, to have peace, to have joy, or to be miserable or to live in conflict, then wouldn't it make sense for me to dedicate a little bit of time to know how can I make the best decisions for my life? And what's unfortunate is that a lot of people are stuck in a rut. They don't know how to make good decisions, and they keep repeating bad decisions. They don't learn from their mistakes. They don't learn that the reason I am where I am is because I've made some bad choices. So what I want to try to do is over the next couple of weeks, I know that we have a special Youth Sunday, July 10th. Okay, I was going to say 11th, but yes, July 10th, we got a special Youth Sunday, so we may pause one of the weeks to do that, but to accommodate them and to get young again. But in the meantime, I want to do today is just kind of lay the groundwork for this series to help us make smart choices. This is going to be something that I will lay out for you that's going to help you discern, okay, how do I make the best decision here? I have three choices. I have four choices. I have four options. I got, you know, several alternatives. How do I pick the best choice for me? Is it this car or is it that car? Is it this house or is it that house? Do I marry him or do I marry him? Okay, all right. You know, how do you go about? What's the process that we should use to make wise choices? And the most interesting thing is the Bible has answers to these kind of questions. It gives us some insight. It gives us wisdom. And if you follow God's word, you'll be smart. Okay, we want to just begin by the most basic thing. The most basic thing that's required for making wise choices is that I need to discern between what's good and what's bad, between what's right and what's wrong. In order to make the good decisions, then, I need to know what the truth is. What's the truth? Where does the truth lie? We live in a postmodern era. In the postmodern era, nothing is true, or everything is true, better said. Everything is true. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And they all are compatible. And you know, logically, that doesn't make sense. You might accept it. Some people might accept it because that's kind of the mantra that's being spewed in universities and by our culture and our generation. But you know that that's inconsistent. You know that can't be true. You know you want something that's precise. When you need directions to get to point B, you want to know, do I make a right or do I make a left? They're both not going to get you there. Right? One is going to get you there. One is going to take you away from there. You know that. You know that in your heart. You know that in almost intuitively, right? But the thing is that discerning the truth is not always easy. How do I know what's true? Especially because of the generation we live in where everything is questioned. I wish things were as simple as, you know, one of the beloved Disney cartoons, which is, they're not the originators, they just kind of made the book famous, Pinocchio. I love Pinocchio. He's such a cute little boy. What do you, I want to be a boy, the little puppet would say. And, you know, and one of the unique features of Pinocchio is that his nose would grow whenever he would tell a lie. Wouldn't life be easier if everybody's nose grew when they were telling a lie? You know what was right. You know what was wrong right off the step, right, you know, right off the bat. Well, this is the best car that we have in the lot. Honey, you know, I live for you. I'll die for you. I'll give my life. I think that would be awesome if all of a sudden people, their noses grew in proportion to their lies. So I mean, you'd be able to tell immediately, okay? But, you know, things are not that easy, unfortunately. And discerning the truth really is not that hard, though. Really is not that hard. The problem is that we have so many competing ideas that all of them are saying we're true. This is true. That's true. And what happens is that in our society, when that takes place, then we become cynical. You know that we live in an information age. And in this information age, it's almost like anything that you want to believe can be confirmed and backed up by Google or Bing or whatever search engine you decide to use, right? There's almost always something, and yet you know that this can't be true. This can't be right. But because of the millions of opinions and articles and books and ideas and philosophies circulating, I think what happens is that has created within the church, within people of the body of Christ, it has created a skepticism within the body. I had one pastor friend say once, the biggest amount of unbelievers are believers. And it's come to the point where I kind of see some of that because it's almost like I don't believe really anything. I had a pastor used to tell me, never believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. And so because we live with so many competing opinions, so many competing ideas, how do I know? How can I discern? How can I discern? How can I discern what's true? Here's what Jesus says about the truth. Jesus says, you will know the truth. John chapter 8, verse 32. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Right? What does that mean, you will know the truth? What that means is believing the truth is going to have a liberating and joyful effect on you. Believing the truth is going to have a liberating and joyful effect on you, whereas believing a lie, you know what that's going to do? It's going to make you miserable. It's going to make you unhappy. It's going to make you a prisoner. Because if knowing the truth sets me free, that's implying something. That's implying that I'm bound. Free people don't need to be free. Only prisoners need to be free. Only people that can't do what they want, they're the ones that need. Only slaves can be set free, right? So that's implying that the only way we can be free is when we understand the truth. It also suggests that when you believe the wrong thing, when you believe something that's not true, you're creating the prison cell where you're living in. Are you guys still with me? Yes, you still with me? So look at what Jesus says. I want you to turn a parable because we're talking about that. That's, you know, talking about the truth can be very problematic for people. Look at Jesus' parable in Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, verse 24, he says, so everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise, a.k.a. smart. We're talking about how to make smart decisions for your life. Okay, how to make wise choices. So Jesus is saying, if you hear his words and you act upon them, you're going to be a smart dude, right? Who built his house, and he compared it to someone who builds his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because he had founded it upon the rock. So here's a guy, he's building a house. I got a choice. I could build it on soft soil, I could build it on sand, or I could build it over here on this granite. I'm going to build it on this granite, this hard coral rock, bedrock structure. I'm going to fasten the beams of the house, the corners of the house, to the actual concrete. So when the winds and the rains and the floods come, ain't going nowhere. That's exactly what happened, right? And he says the person that thinks that through, that doesn't just haphazardly, okay, prop up a building anywhere, says that person is wise. That person is smart. You're thinking things through to the logical conclusion. You're thinking beyond the here and the now, see. The foolish man, he doesn't think beyond the here and the now. Well, this place is as good as any. Why? Because I got this beautiful view of the ocean. So let's build it right here in the sand, right? Okay, and so verse 26 says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them will be like a stupid. Woo, that's a harsh word. That's exactly what it says in the Amplified. Will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. So you got two kinds of people. You have a sensible person, and you have a stupid person. Look at the person and you say, don't be dumb. Listen to the word. Right. Yeah. And so the wise people, he's saying, wise people build their lives on the truth, whereas foolish people build their lives on things that are error. Right? When you build your life on things that are not true, you're going to suffer ruin. The Spanish translation says, and great was the loss. The great and complete was the ruin of it. Okay? Your life falls apart when you don't make the choices that are correct choices, right? And so I want to take just a few moments this morning to just share with you a little bit about the importance of accepting the truth. So how do I make good decisions? It begins by making the truth the most important thing in your life. I have to begin with the truth. There's safety in the truth, okay? In John it says that men love darkness rather than light. We have a problem. In Romans it says that people exchange the truth of God for a lie. The problem is we don't always want the truth. We'd rather be in the dark about something. We love to plead ignorance. I didn't know. But if you really want to make good decisions, you have to evaluate your life, and you have to evaluate the things in your life that you've believed that are not true and say, I'm going to change that opinion. I'm going to change that belief. And you have to be courageous enough to acknowledge when you're thinking the wrong things. Because if you think the wrong things, you will live out those wrong things, right? I want you to look at a couple things. Number one, I want you to just write this down. If you're taking some notes, I'm going to have the full outline for you next week. But I want you to think a few things. Pop culture always has it wrong. First point, two facts. Pop culture always has it wrong. Always, always, always look at the person next to you. Say, always. And the reason pop culture always has it wrong is because they do not have the Spirit of God. The natural man does not know the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. If you are in the natural, you cannot please God because there's an animosity taking place. My flesh does not want to obey God or be subject to God. My flesh doesn't want to be in subjection to God's will. My flesh wants to do what my flesh wants to do, which is pretty much just selfishness. I want to just please myself. So people love darkness. People exchange the truth of God for a lie. Why is that? Because we have this nature that I'm describing. And that nature is what creates the problem where we are right now. What's the problem? Pop culture always gets it wrong. Now, they may be bleeding hearts in some areas, but really they may be, you know, they may have misplaced affection or misplaced mercy in some regards, but most often, more often than not, their ideology is not based on biblical truth, right? So if you look, how many of you guys shop in like Publix? Okay, a couple of you guys. How many of you guys shop like Walmart? Okay, my wife raises her hand for everything. Okay, all of those places, right? Okay, you know when you go to the checkout line and you got your little bag of groceries or whatever, you have your little cart, you know, you look on the side and what's the first thing you see is like, you see all the magazines. Star, National Enquirer, People. And if you were to look, for instance, if you were to look at those magazines, if you check them out, you know what? You'd find something always different on those magazines. They discovered a cure for cancer. Old lady found living in a cave, lives to be 165 years old. Donald Trump is an alien. I mean, you hear all these bizarre, you have all these bizarre extraterrestrials land in Nevada, okay, and, you know, news to follow. And it's like, wow, imagine if you were to believe all that stuff. Imagine if you were to just, you know, take this pill and in 3 days you lose 30 pounds in 3 days. Yes. Oh, yeah, because you'd have to pump your stomach in the hospital and put you on IVs. And so, you know, and that caters to the gullibility of the age that we live in. But that itself should tell you, listen, if I believe those things, I'm going to be like that guy that built his house on the sand. I'm going to face ruin. You can't build your life on what the National Enquirer, Star, Ledger tells you. Right? And so now think about it for a moment. If you were to believe what pop culture is telling you is acceptable and correct. Let me just give you a couple of things that they say. And they say it so matter-of-factly that you can't even question it. If you question it, you're a bigot. You're stupid. You're dumb. You're dumber than a box of rocks. Yeah. But this is what they believe to be the gospel truth. And no questions. Your problems, first thing they tell you is, not the first thing, but one of the ideologies, one of the philosophies is that your problems are always someone else's fault. Right? It's not your fault. Never mind the bad decisions that got you to where you are. No. Somebody else. It was your dad that took away your Barbie doll when you were 4. And now you're the psycho that you are today. Really? So it's my dad. So you spend $20,000 talking to a psychologist about the doll that your dad took away from you, that's caused you to become, you know, a misfit. Are we ever going to take responsibility? But yet society says, no, you can't. You can't take, it's always someone else's fault. Now, no doubt people have been subject to really atrocious things and it affects them and they need a process of healing to go through. I don't deny that for a moment, but I want you to look at the big picture, okay, of these ideas that pop culture espouses and it spews on a regular basis. It's never your fault. You don't take responsibility. It's not your fault. Another idea is that you don't have any reason to feel guilty. Why? Because if there's nothing that's morally right or morally wrong, everything is morally acceptable, why should you feel guilty? The only people that need to feel guilty are those evil rich people. Because we all know all rich people are evil. See how the idea works? Why? Because why should he make, you know, two
$1 billion when this person over here doesn't make anything. You know what? We should take his money away from him and we should give it to everybody and just equally disperse it. Oh, that's a great idea. So noble. Oh, I feel so special. But that's something that you hear growing and increasing in poverty. Now, it's not to say that there aren't evil rich people, of course. I think banks are evil. I think the government is corrupt. I think there's some real greed in some of our corporations. Okay, so let's get that out there. But it doesn't mean that all evil people, you look at your evil, let's kill him, let's take all his money. Listen, stop that. Think sensibly about these things. But yet society or pop culture wants you to think that it's rich people's fault. It's white man's fault. It's this person's fault. Those are just what are we talking about? Just ideas, just basically ideas. Here's another one. The answer lies within you. Listen to the force, Luke. Come over to the dark side, son. Okay. Listen, what is that? The answer. You're going to find the answer within you. Now, I believe that if you have the Holy Ghost in you, then yes, the answer certainly lies within you. But to say that there's someone who's unregenerated, somebody who doesn't have God in their picture, the answer lies somewhere within you. Listen, that can be very disheartening because they're not going to come to the same conclusions as a spirit-filled believer would come to, right? And let me tell you something about truth. You're never going to find truth based on your whim or based on your feeling. Let me see, what do I feel like drinking now? Like Zephyr Hills or a liter of whiskey? Okay, guess what the Spirit, it's not based on feeling. It's based on truth. Here's another one that they tell you is that all beliefs are equally valid. Another idea, all beliefs are equally valid, except for Christianity, of course. No, they're in the bottom. No. Everybody, notwithstanding, get rid of Christianity. But all ideas are equally, but all ideas are not equally valid. If I say 2 + 2 = 5, and you say 2 + 2 = 4, your idea is more valid than my idea. You missed a good part of an amen. Right? This is one of the things that they're saying. And you know, here's another idea. Another idea is gay, lesbianism, transgenderism, same-sex marriage, it's all okay. Why? Because morals are not important anymore. So all those things are okay. And if you believe, that's what I'm telling you, pop culture always, always, always has it wrong. Living together before you're married, okay, but you know, I'm single, and I'm struggling living in an apartment, and apartments are expensive, and I have this girlfriend, and we love each other, and she has the same scenario, so let's just live together. Let's just combine our income. What a great idea. Yeah, that makes complete sense. Well, it might make complete sense, but you're not looking things down to the logical conclusion. God says, no way, Jose. So pop culture, if you believe what they tell you, what will happen is what happened to the foolish man that built his house on the sand. Storms came, and he didn't have a place to stand on because great, great was the ruin. Now, the Bible says something to us. It says that Paul foresaw the day that we would be living in. Jesus foresaw the day that we would be living in. And Paul wrote something very descriptive of our condition today. He says in 2 Timothy 4, you can write this down, 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, it says, the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. We don't want what's right. We want what's fair for everybody. Okay, we don't care about what's right. Okay, they will follow. Check it out. It says, they will follow their own desires. Can you give me a new battery back there? I think my mind is giving out on me. It says, and they will follow their own desires. Where? Let me just continue reading. Can you follow along with me? Let me continue reading for you. It says, they will follow their own desires and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear, right? Verse 4. Praise the Lord. Okay, and they will reject the truth and chase after myths. Verse 5, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Timothy, keep a clear mind.
Don't chase after everything the society and pop culture is chasing after. A couple of things he's saying, that pop culture, they're going to have itching ears. What does it mean, itching ears? Itching ears is a term to describe someone who looks for teachers or who looks for ideas that confirm or validate what they're thinking. And they surround themselves with the ideology, with the ideas of people to just kind of make them feel better. You know the idea of misery loves company? It's like, I'm in misery. Let me find other miserable people so that miserably we can walk down the street. Okay, so itching ears means that I am looking for people that will back up what I think. Never mind if it's true or not. Never mind if it's good or not. Never mind, you know, any of those things. That's secondary. I just want to find someone that will support my lifestyle. And really, when you think about it, this is where we are today. We're today, you know, there's an absence of truth, even from the church, which the Bible says is the pillar and the foundation of God's truth. Even when we choose churches not on their content or commitment to truth. We choose churches on their commitment to an entertainment. Why? Because if the pastor preaches against sin, oh man, you know, it's going to be for us four no more. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the pastor tell me how great I'm going to be and the champion I'm going to be and how I'm going to fly like Adam and Eve used to fly in the Garden of Eden. How I'm going to be able to do some amazing things. Now listen, some of that's true, but you know what? We pick teachers because of what they tell us, and you're going to drive a great car, and you're going to have a great house, and I see riches coming your way, and I see great wealth, prosperity coming your way. Now, I believe in the message of prosperity, but if you're picking a church simply because the preacher is making you feel good, I think you might have missed the boat. We got to pick. In our society, our church needs to be picked based on their commitment to the truth, right? And here's what it says in 1 John. John says, don't always believe everything you hear simply because somebody says it. Remember the old State Farm commercial? They can't put anything that's not true on the internet. It's got to be true. So as John is saying, okay, don't believe everything you hear because somebody says it. Test it to see if it really is, for there are many false teachers around. Why would John be concerned with false teachers? If everything were relevant, if everything were equally valid, if everything were the same, why would they be so concerned with truth, with what's false? Why would they want to expose what's false and promote what's true? If it weren't indeed something so important. Now, think about this for a moment. I'm going to just kind of close with this as I'm laying the groundwork. There were a lot of lies similar to today circulating during Jesus' day. Right? You know, in the Gospels record Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, 78 times. 78 times, I tell you the truth. Often, it's preceded by the statement, you've heard that it was said. I think if he were around today, he would say, pop culture says this, but I tell you this. I tell you the truth. Pop culture takes a stance on this, but I tell you. So oftentimes, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Why would he take so much time? Why would many of his statements be preceded with, I tell you the truth? And even those statements be preceded by, you've heard it was said, because common sense was not that common. Because conventional wisdom of that day wasn't true. And he was exposing what wasn't true. So you've heard it was said. You got to treat the person that does wrong to you this way, but I tell you the truth. You've heard it said that the person that commits adultery does this, but I tell you the truth. I'm giving you another side. I'm giving you another angle. And he said that. Why? Because truth matters. Because truth is important. Because as we lay the foundation for our future as we look to make good decisions, because we are, in a sense, the sum of the decisions that we make. You cannot make good decisions unless you know what the truth is and unless you're committed to that truth. So I pray that today we would be committed to that truth. I hope you join us in this journey, okay, to make smart choices during the next couple of weeks, and you'll invite some people. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I want you to do something very simple today. I want you just to stay there for a moment. I'm not going to take long, but I just want you to close your eyes. I'm really talking about you today. Yeah, who me? Yeah, you. I'm talking about you personally, every person here. Every one of us has come in with preconceived ideas, notions, beliefs. Now, what if those ideas were not correct? Are you willing to change those ideas? See, because the key to making good decisions is beginning with a commitment to the truth. Would you be willing to say, well, if the Bible shows me something different than what I've been believing, then I'm going to abandon my old belief system and embrace the new belief? That's really hard for a lot of people. Because when you've spent years living for something that's not true, it takes a lot of courage to acknowledge it. It takes even more courage to turn away from it. So today I wonder if, just as you have your eyes closed, would you, just underneath your breath, would you whisper a prayer to God? Say, Lord, I'm willing for you to reveal things to me during the study. I'm willing for you to help me make good decisions and to embrace the truth in areas where maybe I haven't let the light of Christ shine. I'm willing for you to shine that truth in every facet of my life. Anybody can be a lover of the truth for 2 hours on Sunday morning. But Lord, it's more than that, and it goes beyond that. So today, Lord, we're open. We pray that you would speak to us, our hearts, our minds. We are available for correction. That's what you did, Lord. You corrected people when you lived. You've heard it was said, but I tell you the truth. Lord, may you correct us in only the way that you know how, gently, truthfully, powerfully. And so today, Lord, we lay all our preconceived ideas and notions and ideologies and life philosophies and ideas that maybe we've picked up at school or a family or through pop culture, media. Lord, we're willing to let all those things be subject to the litmus test of your truth, the truth of your word. We thank you for that, because, you know, we know, Lord, that through your Spirit is working effectually, effectively, powerfully in us. And we embrace that work. And we want to be people of the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, you can handle the truth. Amen. 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 We got one more song before we leave. God bless you guys. After the song, consider yourself dismissed. So glad to be with you once again. If you have prayer for anything you'd like us to pray, we would love and welcome the opportunity to pray with you here today before you go home. That would be awesome. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him.
and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.